their own ways, their own lusts of the day, and there's going to be a day that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Now, please be prepared for that. And the only way you can truly be, the only way you can be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way you can be prepared for death is if you come by faith to Jesus Christ today and trust in Him. You must do that. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ, and you must trust in Him. Now, please look to the Lord Jesus Christ today, and do not ignore His way and His will for your life. And the first of all is to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Are you experiencing right now the convicting power of the Holy Spirit showing your sin to you? Because if you are, it's time to come, and it's time to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. Please do not depend on anything of this life or of this world. Depend completely and solely upon Jesus Christ and Him by faith. Please trust in Jesus today. Now that we have stopped just a few minutes to go back to 2 Peter here in the 11th verse of Genesis, let's go back now to Genesis. And let's continue. Once again, we're going to read, "I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood." We've looked, there is a judgment coming, but it's not going to be by the waters of a flood. "Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." And God said unto Noah, "This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." Let's back up now all the way to the 12th verse. "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. I do set a bow." The beautiful rainbow that we see. You know, normally it's just a few colors. Sometimes it's real deep, gorgeous, beautiful colors, and sometimes it's real narrow as it streaks across the sky in this beautiful bow from earth to earth. And it's wonderful to look upon that rainbow. But let's see the real purpose of this. You know, as we look at this promise that God is making, this covenant, this contract, is usually between two, and many times God will perform the same. It is sealed. And so you see, we have the Word of God saying, "I will never destroy the world again by waters." We have that in His Word. But now we have this rainbow, and this seals it. Now, does it mean that God has to seal it to make His Word good? Not at all. God's Word is good, but He does provide for us to see this. But is it for us? That's a question that we need to ask and to look at. But first, I would like to look up a couple of verses of Scripture. Let's go back to Hebrews, and I hope that you have acquired the habit of having a couple Bibles in front of you, because if you have, well, then it won't take long, because you see, I was already in 2 Peter. Now I'm to Hebrews, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 6. We need, once again, I'll remind you, we need to stay with King James, the old King James. I want you to stay there. I want you to stay true to the Word of God. Is it perfect? No, it is not perfect, but it is close as we can come, and I want you to stay with the old King James. Please, I just beg you to do that. Take that other one and throw it away and get you back to the old King James Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Hebrews 6, 17. And it tells us, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And then it continues that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Is God required to do this? No, he has not. He does it for our good. 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Again, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. You know, as we look to the Word of God, we find that a believer, one that has come by faith to Jesus Christ, is sealed. God's stamp is placed upon it, and it's done in his blood. And so we need to know that we are sure and we're kept because we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. So I hope that you enjoyed those two verses of Scripture. Now, once again, let's go back and see who this rainbow, who it's for. God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. This is verse 12. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. God's making the promise. Doesn't have any bearing on what we do or what we say. God has put it into place, and he is the one that will keep it. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Who is this? Who does he say? Who does God say that this is for? It is for him. Every time the storm clouds move through. Now, sometimes we have, depending on the position of the sun and everything, we have the joy of seeing a rainbow. Not every time that a storm moves through do we have a rainbow, or at least that our eyes can see. But I believe every time that there is a storm cloud moves across this earth, that God sees a rainbow. You see, it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant. Now, God has given us the advantage of seeing that, of knowing that every time that storm cloud comes through our life, that at the end of that storm, we're going to see this most beautiful rainbow, and it's going to be a sign of peace and mercy. It's going to be a sign that God is true and God is real. Was there ever a rainbow seen prior to the flood? I don't think so. You can argue that all you want to, and I won't argue with you about it, but I just don't think there was. I think this is something that God put into the sky, and it's been placed there that every time the sun hits just right. But on the outside, not from the earth looking up, that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and the beasts of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. So we can look at, not only is this promise handed to man, to Noah, to Noah's sons, then down through to us, and then it continues beyond us, and then also it includes every living creature. And so we find that every living, breathing creature has this promise of what something he's going to promise here. And what is that promise? Let's look at the rest of this, verse 11. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. That's the promise. That's the promise that's been set forth here. Why is it given to man? And that promise handed down, and then also to every beast of the earth, every living creature, as the beginning and the end of verse 10 tells us. Why does it include all those? Because they were all touched by that judgment. They were all died by that judgment, except those that were on the ark. Everything else faced the judging hand, the wrath of God, and the judgment of God. And so this this covenant here, this promise, is giving not only to Noah and his sons, but also on to us, not only just to us, but to every living creature, every beast of the earth, the 10th verse says. We are receiving the benefits of this covenant. And as we look at these verses of Scripture, and we see here what he is promising to do. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. That's the 11th verse. This flood, one has called it a monument to judgment. Judgment came. And there is still, clearly, there is still the remains of that flood, as a monument would be in a cemetery, reminding us of someone that has lived in the past. This monument of the flood, as scientists continue to study this earth, they cannot ignore the universal flood that took place at Noah, in Noah's time. If they do, they are trying to disprove. In other words, they say they're trying to find the truths of the earth. But if they deny the flood, they are not searching for the truth. They just can't explain such a catastrophe. And so they're trying to excuse it and say it was just... And the thing of it is that when so many of the scientists of the world begin to make statements like there was a universal flood, then it comes and stays right true to the Word of God, and they don't want to admit that. So what we have here by the flood is a monument. A monument of the judgment, the judging hand of God, the wrath of God upon this earth. So we have that. Now, as this world continues, even though it becomes very, very wicked, we have a monument of mercy, not just of judgment with the flood and the waters, but also there is a monument of mercy. God's word said, I will not, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Has there been such a flood since the day of Noah? No, there has not. God's word is true. The next judgment that we're going to encounter will be a judgment by fire. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time here talking about the timetable and things of this, but I do want to read for you because maybe it'll help you recognize that you need to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved today. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 down through the 10th verse. And this is just a taste, just a touch of it, but I want you to see. God said, I will not, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Okay, now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandment of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire. So we spoke here, as we stop for just a moment at the end of this verse of Scripture, the middle of verse 7, we find that not only is the flood a monument of the judgment of God to remind us of what has taken place in God's hand of judgment, but also as we look at the same, but the heaven and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, are kept in place. And again, it is a show of God's mercy, even though wickedness continues to grow in this world and upon this earth. God said, I will not destroy you again by flood. It is reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 7. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. As we look at this verse of Scripture, and we enjoy reading the verses of Scripture, you can just continue to the end of the chapter if you'd like to. We're not going to talk about a timetable here, but we are assured that there is going to be judgment upon this earth, and it will be by fire. And so please, that you don't, as tells us here in the fourth verse, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Have you gotten to that place where you don't even believe he's going to return again? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, don't be ignorant. There are scoffers. They're walking in their own ways, their own lusts of the day, but there's going to be a day that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Now, please be prepared for that. And the only way you can truly be, the only way you can be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way you can be prepared for death, is if you come by faith to Jesus Christ today and trust in him. You must do that. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ, and you must trust in him. Now, please look to the Lord Jesus Christ today, and do not ignore his way and his will for your life. And the first of all is to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Are you experiencing right now the convicting power of the Holy Spirit showing your sin to you? Because if you are, it's time to come, and it's time to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. Please do not depend on anything of this life or of this world. Depend completely and solely upon Jesus Christ and him by faith. Please trust in Jesus today. Now that we have stopped just a few minutes to go back to 2 Peter here in the 11th verse of Genesis, let's go back now to Genesis and let's continue. Once again, we're going to read, I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood. We've looked, there is a judgment coming, but it's not going to be by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood of to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Let's back up now all the way to the 12th verse. This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. I do set a bow, the beautiful rainbow that we see. You know, normally it's just a few colors. Sometimes it's real deep, gorgeous, beautiful colors, and sometimes it's real narrow as it streaks across the sky in this beautiful bow from earth to earth. And it's wonderful to look upon that rainbow. But let's see the real purpose of this. You know, as we look at this promise that God is making, this covenant, this contract, is usually between two, and many times God will perform the same. It is sealed. And so you see, we have the Word of God saying, I will never destroy the world again by waters. We have that in His Word. But now we have this rainbow, and this seals it. Now, does it mean that God has to seal it to make His Word good? Not at all. God's Word is good, but He does provide for us to see this. But is it for us? That's a question that we need to ask and to look at. But first, I would like to look up a couple of verses of Scripture. Let's go back to Hebrews, and I hope that you have acquired the habit of having a couple Bibles in front of you, because if you have, well, then it won't take long, because you see, I was already in 2 Peter. Now I'm to Hebrews, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 6. We need, once again, I'll remind you, we need to stay with King James, the old King James. I want you to stay there. I want you to stay true to the Word of God. Is it perfect? No, it is not perfect, but it is close as we can come, and I want you to stay with the old King James, please. I just beg you to do that. Take that other one and throw it away and get you back to the old King James Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Hebrews 6:17, and it tells us, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. And then it continues, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Is God required to do this? No, He has not. He does it for our good. 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Again, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. You know, as we look to the Word of God, we find that a believer, one that has come by faith to Jesus Christ, is sealed. God's stamp is placed upon it, and it's done in His blood. And so we need to know that we are sure and we're kept because we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. So I hope that you enjoyed those two verses of Scripture. Now, once again, let's go back and see who this rainbow who it's for. God said, "This is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generations." This is verse 12. "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." God's making the promise. Doesn't have any bearing on what we do or what we say. God has put it into place, and he is the one that will keep it. "And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Who is this? Who does he say? Who does God say that this is for? It is for him. Every time the storm clouds move through. Now, sometimes we have, depending on the position of the sun and everything, we have the joy of seeing a rainbow. Not every time that a storm moves through do we have a rainbow, or at least that our eyes can see. But I believe every time that there is a storm cloud moves across this earth, that God sees a rainbow. You see, "It shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant." Now, God has given us the advantage of seeing that, of knowing that every time that storm cloud comes through our life, that at the end of that storm, we're going to see this most beautiful rainbow, and it's going to be a sign of peace and mercy. It's going to be a sign that God is true and God is real. Was there ever a rainbow seen prior to the flood? I don't think so. You can argue that all you want to, and I won't argue with you about it, but I just don't think there was. I think this is something that God put into the sky, and it's been placed there that every time the sun hits just right. But on the outside, not from the earth looking up, but from the heavens looking down, every time a storm cloud crosses across this earth, there's a rainbow. "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Let's look. We talk about the little bit upon little bit, line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, let's look at the 13th verse. It says, "I do set the bow in the clouds." Let's learn that. "It shall come to be a token of the covenant." We have that also in verse 13. Let's learn that. "I will remember my covenant, and the floods will never come again," in the 15th verse. "And I will look and remember." I will look, I will remember my covenant with you. This rainbow appears even while the clouds are still there. And that should help us when we do have that beautiful rainbow that God has put in the sky. It should remind us of the mercy of God, of the grace of God, and that God is in control. Please, that you look to that rainbow now and realize that it's for God's purpose, for Him to see, not for us, but He allows us to see it and rejoice. And so, understand, "I will remember. I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the clouds." Look how he makes it to work, how it's going to take care of itself. Please, it's a wonderful day to study God's Word. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We have looked at 2 Peter chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 6, and 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm glad that you've joined us today in the study of this Word. I just praise God for the power and strength of His Word. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?